Now back to Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, two guys who always tear up at the end of Finding Nemo.
You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, and Rick, we have with us as a guest on the line for this segment, Deborah Gladstone, who is a Bengal cat breeder and otherwise known as the Bengal Lady. Welcome to the show, Deborah.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you on the show. Deborah, I'm so interested in these Bengal cats, maybe because I'm a dog guy, and all of a sudden I think I finally have discovered the cat breed for me. It's these Bengal cats. Can you explain a little bit about where they came from and their evolution as a breed?
Yes. The Bengal cats first came about by a breeder called Gene Mill. I think a first breeding was recorded in 1965. Mm-hmm. She started out by breeding an Asian leopard cat with a domestic cat, thinking to create a beautiful cat with Asian cat markings, but yet domestic, like a house cat.
Can you comment a little bit about the Asian cat markings?
Asian leopard cat is a small jungle cat, probably about maybe 16 to 20 pounds, a very small jungle-dwelling cat. Has rosetted, you know, what we know is the leopard print or the cheetah print.
Okay.
Markings on it. It's a small cat with a small head, big feral eyes, big round eyes, tiny ears, a very, very full and large whisker pads, prominent, and a large nose with dark nose leather and maybe a little pink triangle on the end. A lot of times their back legs are longer than their front legs. When they're walking, that kind of enhances that stalking, predatory look.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, and I've done a quick search on images, and I've seen maybe one Bengal cat in my life, but wow, they are a beautiful, beautiful-looking animal.
They're real nice-looking cats. They are very attractive. They also have a natural glitter in their pelt. We don't say that they have fur. They have what we call a pelt. When the kittens are born, they're born with a couple different lengths of hair, and they stand out, and they give them that, you know, fuzzy kitten look, or that little chick look with a downy fur on it. But when they get to be about 6 weeks old, their pelt evens out into one length, and their pattern becomes very prominent, often outlined in darker colors with shading. You can see the shading and the colors come in. They're really gorgeous. And if you look at them in the sunlight, or if your light from your house catches them just right, and you think, well, that cat looks like he's glowing. Well, he really is, because they have the natural glitter in their pelts.
And that's with the Bengal. That's not necessarily with just the Asian leopard cat, but that's
right,
actually...
Right, that's with the Bengal. The Asian leopard really doesn't have any of the glitter, and it's kind of unknown where the glitter came from.
Huh.
But it's just, you know, kind of an added attraction.
Well, let's get back to that cross and how she came about this.
Okay. Well, she made the first breeding, and I believe... At that point, she was so interested in the Asian leopard cat. It's my understanding that she joined forces with other Bengal and with other enthusiasts for the way that cat looked, and they kept up the breeding. When they made the first breeding, the kitten that came out of that breeding would have been called a F1,
okay,
which is filial one.
They bred the Asian cat with a domestic cat.
With a domestic, and
okay,
that became the F1. After that, they bred the F1 with another I think, Asian leopard cat, and created an F2. After doing this in succession, when you get up to about the fifth generation, the males were no longer sterile. Up until the fifth generation, the male cats from this breeding were sterile. Mm-hmm. After about the fifth generation, the males were no longer sterile, and you could breed Bengal to Bengal.
Okay, and then probably what they're probably breeding out some of the characteristics of the Asian cat. So probably in each level, there's a domestic cat being bred in this whole process.
Yes, yes. And,
okay.
And the more the generations that pass, the more the wild Asian leopard genes get bred out. And what they wanted to keep was the look and the look of the Asian leopard and the friendly attitude and the playfulness. And, you know, and just the wild look about it. That's what they really were striving to keep. And I think by 1984, there were a number of different bloodlines going back to the different Asian leopard cats that were used, and they were able to exhibit them and judge them in TICA, which is the International Cat Association, as a new breed. And I think once they did that, what followed in 1990, the Bengals were finally accepted by TICA as a authentic domestic cat breed.
So it's like a fourth generation removed cat, and then obviously there's further generations. Tell us, as a cat breeder, what goes through your mind when you pick cats to breed? Is it we no longer have to worry about them being sterile or having issues of breeding, right? They are fertile, and
yes,
you can be successful. How do you consider the next generation and the next generation?
Well, I think you know, you have to look at the Bengal standard, and then you have to look at what you're wanting to breed for. Some breeders, when they're picking their breeding cats, they may want to concentrate on tiny ears, or they may want to concentrate on a very white tummy, white spotted tummy. You know, some cats carry, or they might want to concentrate on a marbled Bengal, a line of marbled Bengals. And so you have to know what you're getting when you're going to buy your first breeders. You want to know what their lines are and what genes they carry. You know, if they carry for snow, there's a snow Bengal, which is white, mm-hmm, with blue eyes.
It's got to be beautiful.
You know, it seems like every breeder has a look that's in their mind's eye that they want to concentrate on and perfect.
Deborah, I have a question. We've talked a lot about the looks of these cats, but one of the things that has intrigued me the most is the activity level and the curiosity level more than anything else. Whenever I've seen a very curious dog breed, usually they're a pretty intelligent breed, and I'm assuming the same thing about this breed, that they're highly intelligent. And where does that intelligence evolve from?
I think that intelligence evolves from the Asian leopard and good breeding, mm-hmm, habits. Mm-hmm. And they are very intelligent and very curious. They're very trainable. They are a loyal and loving companion for your household. They love to interact with their humans. They are intelligent, and this gives them a confidence that a lot of breeds may not have. Plus, with the right socialization, you have a very smart, intelligent, playful cat and at times they seem like they have a sense of humor. when you have a cat like this, you can train it, you can walk it outside on a halter. The cats seem like they love their humans, and they want to please their people that they're with. They're very high energy, very active, very athletic and muscular cats. So you have to keep up with them, and you'll have a good relationship with them.
I would imagine some cat furniture around the house probably wouldn't be a bad idea.
No, you should really have cat trees and things for them to climb. Otherwise, they'll find their own things to climb and jump on, and you might not like what they find. You don't want a bored Bengal.
No bored Bengals.
No bored Bengals. They're very handy with their paws, too. They're almost like little fingers.
And you don't have to worry about investing in leather furniture, because that would be a ridiculous idea, I would assume.
I have leather furniture.
What?
They're pretty good on it.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yep. You know, they're intelligent. They're very aware of what no means.
Okay, so they're reasonably correct.
You know, they're almost like 4-year-olds. Okay. You have to just be repetitive with them because they're smart. They know what that means. They make wonderful eye contact with you. It's something that I was not used to, and I've always been a cat owner. They will look deep into your eyes, and you really feel like they're communicating with you. You really feel like they're on the same level with you and listening to every word you say. They're a very interesting cat.
Deborah,
very fun cat to own.
Deborah, I have a question. It sounds to me like you could almost train them for agility or things like that. Is that something that you do?
Yes, that is something that I have not done that, but I know that they have agility courses at the Bengal cat shows that breeders will take their cats to compete.
Sure.
And they do compete in the agility competition, and they have them running through hoops and mazes and jumping over you know, different levels, and they're very good at it. They like it. They enjoy that.
Oh, sure. It probably uses up a lot of energy.
Yes, it's very stimulating for them. Any kind of activity you can get into with your Bengal cat at home, you can do that at home with your cat. They love it. You can get little tubes for them to run into or, you know, cut out boxes and put them through the your own agility course. They love it.
Right.
Anything that you do with them, you know, they will eat it right up and they'll look forward to it.
And the other thing that we've been noticing on this is that they actually are a very vocal cat. And as a result, they have a lot of ways of communicating. Let's talk a little bit about that. And, you know, how fun is it to have a cat that actually communicates back?
It's a lot of fun. If that's what you like. If not, it can probably be a little nerve wracking.
Uh-huh.
I tell a lot of my clients not to be alarmed if they hear their Bengal off in another part of the house, just meowing or yodeling or making skippering noises. You know, a lot of times they'll do that, and I think they really sometimes take delight in the sound of their own voice. They'll meow and chirp when they're going into the litter box, and you think, what is that cat, you know,
what's he
meowing
thinking
about?
Yeah.
And they like to. They'll come up and they'll give you a good headbutt and meow at you if they want attention. They make their needs known.
Well, I'm sure it's not like a dog, but I bet you it's a lot like a dog in a way. But, man, you must really have some interactive, I mean, the stories you must have from people that actually have these Bengal cats and the kind of change in their life that they must, it must be incredible.
I get a lot of good feedback from my clients. I really get a lot of phone calls after they get the cat home, and like, Debbie, this cat acts like he's been here forever. He's already taken over.
Wow.
I have some clients that have trained their Bengals to literally use a toilet instead of a litter box.
And how do you prepare, or how do you kind of screen, and how do you kind of inform the people as to what kind of cat this is going to be so it's not the wrong situation?
I talk for a long time with my future clients. I have them come over. I encourage them to come over and spend time with my Bengals.
Very good.
Yes. I, you know, and I let them drop by whenever, if they're in the neighborhood and they call me or if they knock on my door, you know, it's fine. I try never to be too busy to let a client come in and see my cats, because the more they're learning about the Bengals, the more I'm learning about them, and I get a good feel for them when they're interacting with my cats, you know, and I'm not afraid to ask questions, ask them how long they're going to be home and how many people live at home, what other animals do they have. A Bengal is not for everybody. And, you know, also you can't be afraid to say no to people if you just don't feel right or
sure.
what you know, you, because they're not. They're a cat that makes a big dent in your house, and once you commit to owning, just sure. like any animal, you know that you could have that animal for 13 to 16 years, and you have to take care of it and take it to the doctor. You know, it's a big part of your life, and you have to be prepared to do that.
I always think no is actually a good opportunity for you, for the cat and the people on the other line. They don't realize what they shouldn't be getting.
Right.
And, and you're actually doing them a giant favor.
I am doing them a giant favor.
Yeah.
You know, they might get a little mad at first, but, you know, it saves me a lot of headaches because if I'm going to worry about the cat after I you know, have the cat go to his new family, it's no good for me either. I don't want that stress. I want to feel good, and I want the cat to be happy, and I want the people to be happy. I just, you know, want it to go always.
Well, that's the story that we're looking for as well. We've been talking this morning with Deborah Gladstone, who is a Bengal cat breeder and otherwise known as the Bengal Lady. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Deborah. We really appreciate the info.
Well, you're very welcome, and thanks for having me this morning.
Oh, it's been our...
I hope I answered some of your questions.
You sure did.
They're a wonderful cat, and you did mention that they sound a lot like they might be for you, and you're a dog person. A lot of people, a lot of breeders describe them as, you know, like a kind of like a dog-like cat or a cat-like dog.
Well,
because they'll fetch, and you can walk them, and just because they make their presence very known.
Well, it sounds like a great experience for the right person. We've been talking this morning with Deborah Gladstone, a Bengal cat breeder. Thank you so much. And Rick, in the next segment, we're going to continue the conversation and talk with a cat veterinarian right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
Passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill.